Let that ride out.
Welcome to the show.
I love it. The Millennial Revolver Show is back.
I'm your host, Zayna Farah.
Nick here as always. I want to thank Ill Rhythm for that beat right there.
That's dopey. This is the Millennial Revolver Show. I'm Zayna Farah. We got Nick with us.
As always.
How are y'all? Nick, how are you?
Really excited to get started, Z. The show's been under construction. It's been a while, but we've got some new hot, fresh takes.
That is definitely an understatement. Yes, we do. We are really excited to really break things down for y'all. Really, really break things down.
Backed by popular demand, definitely. Much love to all the emails and tweets out there, guys. We know you've been missing us. Now on iTunes, the iTunes store.
Now on iTunes.
You can actually just search Millennial Revolver on iTunes. Exciting. And you don't have to go through all the links, nothing. Just iTunes store. There we are. Hit subscribe. And we're in your phone. We're in your life.
Really want to say, how amazing is it that really we're just an arm reach away from you? Really, the way the internet allows us to connect and really just come together as revolvers. That's our mission. That's really why we're here, you guys.
We're trying to connect everybody and get everyone on the same page, get everyone with the same information, and not just the information they want you to know.
And Nick, I'm so glad that you said that, because really,
I think there is
nothing more dangerous than misinformation. And really, the reason that is because when you're misinformed, when you are not given the picture without bias, your view on everything, your opinions on things,
it's not right, because you don't have all the proper, it's not your fault either. I mean, people just don't have the proper information. We don't have all the information all the time. That's why, you know, we investigate and we research.
Yeah, that's what we do.
But that's why we're here, guys, because we do it for you. So let us do all the work, be as lazy as possible, because
don't be as lazy as possible.
All you gotta do is just hit subscribe.
We're responsible as people. Yeah.
Hit subscribe, and then that's your lazy good start then. But you gotta, at least add us.
Yeah, I feel like we really just kind of want to be a place that everyone can kind of come together. We hope that our forum and our following just continues to grow and really kind of helps change come in a way that we all want it to be.
Well, we got a great show for you guys this evening. We're going to talk about the Paris and Lebanon attacks. Very sad to see those. Definitely talk about the San Bernardino shooting that happened close to our home, something in SoCal that everyone's talking about and around the world. But more importantly, how was your Thanksgiving break?
It was very interesting. I, for the first time, attempted to cook a turkey. So I was all the deep in a raw one.
How was that?
It was good.
No one
complained.
Good.
It was fully cooked.
Good.
Turkey is always dry, I think. I'm not an expert yet. It's all right. I don't even like turkey like that.
Awesome.
But it was cool. How was yours?
My Thanksgiving was awesome. Had time with the fam, it was great. We all got together, haven't done that in a couple of years, so
yeah,
definitely
cool.
Gained a few pounds like every year we do,
and hopefully in the right places.
It was definitely a great time, but it's funny, Z, because I was watching TV after Thanksgiving, just sitting there on my couch trying to breathe, and I'm looking at all this Black Friday stuff. Did you go Black Friday shopping at all?
HE double hockey sticks. No.
you don't want camping out at 2 a.m.
There's nothing that I want that is a physical material
tent.
Item so bad that I will sit there in tent. And guess what? It's not even just the process of it. The people, the stories that you hear.
The horror stories.
It's really scary. The day after, as I think many people on Facebook and Twitter, whatever, Tumblr witnessed.
Just searching for those videos, man.
Those videos. And those women actually, there was actually a video where a woman,
I think she was
snatched,
like snatching something out of someone's hand, and
a child. She snatched a product out of a child's hand, and the mother retaliated. And just to see humanity, and you know what? It's so ironic, because like Nick, I think you were the one telling me this, where hey, the day before, we're sitting on a table,
right.
we're eating this meal, and we're supposed to be thankful for the food we have and thankful for our family around us. But the next day, we're scouring for these material things.
Right.
How did that tradition come about?
I just think that it's funny, like you said, how, you know, we're all thankful at Thanksgiving that we have this and that, and the whole premise is, you know, be thankful for what you have. And then literally the first opportunity, like the first thing we do, not the next day, not 2 days later, not a week later, literally the first thing we do when we leave our door is go stand in line somewhere and be savages when that door opens. I'm talking about straight savages. Like, it's natural selection. If you don't, you know, if you can't pray, you're not going
to
eat.
That is crazy to even compare it to that. Really, I think the main theme of this is capitalism brings out such bad parts of people. Really, capitalism is evil. I think that's going to be a theme of our show. I think so many stories we co up, and it just shows you how capitalism really makes people bad.
I mean, it's a great idea, but sometimes, you know, it's just,
in theory,
it breaks down your morals, and it's just, whoa, like, you're so thankful for your food and the people you have, and all of a sudden you're going to go be a savage. Like.
Now, the irony of Thanksgiving, I think, not just post-Thanksgiving, but pre-Thanksgiving, right? I think
definitely.
We want to talk about the pre-Thanksgiving madness. And really what I'm referring to is the major controversy that was surrounding the topic of Syrian refugees having immigrants come to America.
Right, and it's crazy
in Europe,
because
in all those places,
you know, that was a huge story. We didn't get a chance to touch up on it. It happened, I think, about the second week of November, and unfortunately, the show was under construction then. But, you know, we're here now, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because, you know, we're a nation of immigrants, and to see the negative attention and really no love we were showing these Syrian refugees, and not just us, a lot of other countries, you know, didn't want to take people in. So, and kudos to the ones who did. I don't have them on my name right now on a short list, but I know England took in some. I know Russia took in a few. I really don't have country names.
There have definitely been some countries stepping up and taking responsibility.
But for majority, you know, they were all very, no, everyone's like, you know, hands off. We don't want to take you in.
And when I hear that opinion, Nicholas, whether it be from people or politicians, my first instinct is to say, do you know what's going on in these people's country? Just quick snapshot to really educate you. If you don't, they're fleeing one of the worst wars that has happened within the 21st century. If you just saw any type of digital picture in Syria, you know, present day, a year ago, whatever, there's total devastation. They have nothing to go back to. These people are literally cashing in whatever they have.
It's like there's a reason why they're fleeing.
Yeah, they're fleeing their country, not even knowing
if
they're going
to
survive.
They just want to come to America all of a sudden.
They're going to survive. Their children are going to survive. I mean, unfortunately, there's been us seeing these pictures online of children washing up on beaches. Like, people aren't taking this risk because, you know, there's nothing going on.
And they're not taking it seriously to the point, because maybe it's in the Middle East and a lot of people have a lot of prejudices. And because mainstream media puts out these stereotypes of what's going on in the Middle East, you just immediately kind of associate that with negative attention. When really, no, they're just innocent civilians caught in a war that, you know, you or I wouldn't be different. We'd want to flee as well if it was in the United States.
So that's number one. That's the first thing that I think of. Okay, do people know what's going on? Okay, so then number two, the argument also that we hear is, well, how do we know that the people coming over here are going to be peaceful? These are people that are, you know, coming from the Middle East, are coming in close proximity to these crazy terrorist groups, and they might bring danger here.
Well, I mean, that's true for any human being, honestly.
Yeah, but honestly, Nick, I think the best answer to that is, look at the statistics. Statistically shown that terrorism that happens in America is domestic terrorism. Actual people that are immigrants in America don't cause violence, are not the source of violence.
Yeah, usually immigrants are the ones that are the good apples, because they know that they're on some sort of temporary visa or some sort of probation, I think.
Yeah, they're trying to make a new life.
They're trying to make a new life, and you don't want to kick that out of the country you just got let in. So it just doesn't make sense that people have these stereotypes of Middle East refugees coming in trying to be negative, when really they just want a new life for them and their family. You know, no different than you or I.
One last point in the argument kind of against the Syrian refugees and why bringing them over here would be negative.
And I think you even had a point on this, Z, for this article, speaking about, you know, the veterans here in the United States and how some people had, you know, how are we going to support these refugees when we can't even support our vets?
Yeah, that was definitely a reservation that I heard. Nick, I think it was really answered beautifully by a man that we're going to post his article. He's a veteran himself, and I think he gives such a great expression and opinion on that view and why that's actually a negative, you know, kind of xenophobic, prejudice thing to say, and why that has nothing to do with anything. They're not tied together.
You said that article had great insight into you know, that whole issue as a whole. We'll make sure to post that in our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMRPage. Also put it on our Twitter at TheMRShow. Hey everyone, Nick here. This is the preview, the section of the show where we like to debut new songs from new artists. Today's song is going to be called Riding Round by Kali Uchis. She's from Colombia, and if you want to find this song, check out our SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/suitmusic and enjoy.
I'm riding around in my girl's eye. We're riding around just to get by. I'm riding around in my car's low. I feel like I've been lied on. I'm riding around in my girl's eye. We're riding around just to get by.
I noticed that there was an additional filter to your profile picture these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're talking about the Paris filter,
yes,
right?
Yes, I've actually seen it all over Facebook.
Yeah, I'm. I logged in and they asked me, you know, do you want to change your profile to have this, like, the Paris flag on there, like the top of a filter? And I was like, you know what? I thought it'd be like a little great way to show, like, you know, my support for what's going on in there in Paris and how they're my prayers, you know.
Well, were you given the option to change your profile filter to the Lebanese flag?
No. Why would I want to change it to the Lebanese flag?
Very great question. And kind of brings up what I wanted to talk about right now is a day before the Paris bombings by ISIS.
I think I heard about that.
Yeah.
It kind of like cycled out of the news immediately after that Paris thing.
And something that is just so...
What happened again?
Significant to point out. So the same concept happened. A very crowded place in Beirut was bombed by ISIS bombers. There were suicide bombers. It killed a total of 43 people.
Wow.
That number should have been greater. And we'll touch on that a little bit later in the episode as to why that is. It's a Power of One segment we have later.
Okay.
And that's why I think personally I was so turned off when I saw people changing their profile pictures. Not because of their intentions, which are probably just like yours, you know, to support and to say, hey, I'm also thinking about what's happening in France. But to say that almost you choose to publicly mourn these people and to not publicly mourn these is so tragic to me and so ironic, because actually Lebanon itself is a Middle Eastern country that is so influenced by the French.
Really?
Actually, Arabic dialect in Lebanon is...
Wow.
Like, I would say 30% French. There's literally French words in the Arabic dialect.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and most people who are educated are always educated upon three languages, Arabic, English, and French.
Okay,
they're a French nation themselves.
So let me take a step real quick and take a step back. So you're basically saying, I actually remember now, there was a couple of suicide bombers in Lebanon. You see they killed over 43 people. And you think that this would be all over the news, especially how the Paris attacks and how much coverage that got. But what you're saying is... You know, the Paris attacks are getting, you know, drawn more attention. Why do you think that is? I mean, I feel like you're onto something.
I think there's two different reasons why there is more attention on the Paris attacks than the attacks in Lebanon. Number one, okay. Lebanon is in the Middle East. There is this painted picture in the media and in our things. Yes, that things like this happen in the Middle East. To paint you a quick picture.
It's okay. It's the Middle East. They're always fighting.
To paint you a quick picture of what's the things, what's going on in Lebanon, there hasn't been a bombing this bad since actually the Civil War in the 90s. Gosh. While there has been political instability within Lebanon, a bombing of this scale is not a norm, not a usual. And this happened in Beirut, which is the capital of Lebanon.
Isn't that like a really nice city?
Yeah, it is. Although this bombing happened in, I think, I want to say it was the southern part of the city. Where
That's
I know
okay.
for
we'll
a fact, though, yeah, so it was
we'll
a part in the city, though, that was actually more
like rural, like, poor. Like
that actually
run
had
down, a little more run down.
Yeah, so it was actually a part of the city that had poverty. It's interesting, Beirut is such a dynamic city. I think we talked about it because on a couple last episodes, because I know we recorded after
you took
I
your
visited
trip out
this
there.
Summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For those of you that haven't been listening, you know, Zaina went to Lebanon this summer and got in the way of our show schedule, but you know, we worked around it.
Yeah, so. So number one, going back to what we were talking about, Nick, the first reason that I think the Paris attacks got more attention is the fact that it's in the Middle East. We want to push the agenda that things like this happen there. They don't happen in Europe, which is to some extent understandable, but it's not because, like we said, things like this don't happen in Lebanon.
Yeah, the stigmatisms that, you know, terrorist attack in Europe is going to be like, oh my gosh. Like, I think the other day we saw something on CNN. They were talking about a stabbing in London and trying to blame politicians for it. Like, it's a stabbing.
Yeah.
Like, we got mass shootings and we have bombs and terrorist attacks in Lebanon. You guys are, you know, covering a stabbing in London?
Yeah, and really quickly, before we kind of, you know, go off on a tangent, the reason why I think the first point is really important to understand, like, the want to push this agenda is because if it was really shown that this bombing happened in Lebanon as well, ISIS hit Lebanon as well, it would hit the story that ISIS are Muslims, because guess what? There were Muslims in Beirut. There were also Christians, because Lebanon is a Middle Eastern country that has both Christianity
okay.
and Muslims, but they were most likely predominantly Muslims. And the whole point is they want this incident in Lebanon actually goes against the stereotype, Snake. That's what I'm saying. So the stereotype is like ISIS is a Muslim group and they're pushing out that agenda. But if they were actually Muslims, they wouldn't be, first of all, killing people. Second of all, killing other Muslims. You know what I mean? That's what I'm
right,
saying.
Right, right. Okay, I get it now.
The reason why we're not going to show that, you know, Lebanon was affected by ISIS as well, because the whole concept, the whole story that the media is trying to push is ISIS are Muslims and all Muslims are going to be bad. And they're going
and
to
that's obviously wrong because we both know that's not true.
What do you think of, you know, we have some politicians, specifically even candidates, talking about how they want to tag Muslim people and they want people to register themselves. What do you think about
What do you mean? Like, it's like registered voting? Like,
no, they want
I know
to
when
physically
I register, to vote, they ask
register
me what I mean.
Themselves as Muslims. If
like,
you
talking
don't
like
know
some
what
Scarlet
I'm talking
Letter
about.
Stuff?
No, I'm talking about some Jews and those type of camps. What we had back, what happened with the Germans and how people.
Yeah, you're talking
to
about like, yeah, identifying. So, you know,
so
basically.
That same concept, that same principle is now being suggested in America that we should try to identify
Who's suggesting
Muslims.
That? I haven't heard
Number
any
one
of
person,
that.
Trump.
What kind of a moron are you? God, son of a.
Number one.
Okay.
Donald Trump has been saying that, you know what, we need to keep track of these Muslims. We don't know what they're going to do, what they're capable of, what agendas they want to push.
Wow, I didn't know he was saying that. That's actually very horrible.
And
actually.
He's not the only one.
What kind of a moron are you? God, son of a.
Let's get this Power of One segment started, Z.
All right, Nick, this Power of One story is about a gentleman by the name of Adel Termos.
Say that one more time.
His name was Adel Termos, and he was actually someone who was present during the Lebanese bombings that happened right before the Paris ones. He survived the first bomb. There was actually several people that were there to, you know, detonate bombs. And he was actually a hero that day. While with his daughter, he actually saw a second man that was running toward a mosque, which is an area of prayer for Muslims, with a bomb strapped to himself.
Wow.
Within seconds, Ada let go of the hand of his daughter, I'm sure, and ran towards this man and tackled him.
No way.
The man detonated the bomb then, and that moment, Ada, I think, entered heaven. I truly feel that he sacrificed
Definitely.
Himself, and this bombing could have been the same amount of deaths as Paris, if not greater. And it's really because of his sacrifice and his quick thinking and heart. Like, really, I'm just getting so emotional just thinking about someone doing that. I mean, think about it. He, you know, the stories about, you know, what he was doing prior to the bombing was he was at a cafe, he was having coffee, and he saw the moment to act and selflessly did. And this man left behind, a wife and two very young children, 1 6 and 1 2 years old. But just to say that him as one being could have an impact and save hundreds of, you know, so many lives. And, you know, we might not all have that option, that moment in our lives where we can actually physically save people from dying. But the whole point is, as one being, you have unlimited influence. And it's just so amazing to think about. And that's what we always want to push towards, you guys. I mean, you and I, Nick, right here, sitting on the mic, even if there's two people listening to us.
Yeah, you know, I can't say his name as well as you can, Z, but I remember reading about this story on Twitter, and it really struck me because, you know, he sacrificed himself to save a building full of people. And a lot of people will say that they would do that, but when actually faced with that decision and that choice, you find out who you are, because some people will do that and some people won't. And the people that don't do that, you know, don't feel bad in any way. It's just who you are. But the people who do that and choose to sacrifice themselves, make sure you recognize them, because they deserve at least that much. And I feel like he would be all over the news if this happened in Paris.
Absolutely. Or,
I mean,
I
don't want to blame Paris for
it's,
the non-coverage.
It's not a blame.
But I mean, it sucks how that happened and it got cycled out of the news stream. But you know what, Z? Another great Power of One segment. Thank you. Keep them coming. As I'm sure you heard about, Z, the San Bernardino shootings.
Yeah.
So tragic, so sad, so close to home for us. You know, I live about 20, 25 minutes away from San Bernardino, not that far.
I'm in LA, but it's still SoCal. I still know people that are there. So it
definitely we have some
here.
Old students that went there, you know, old classmates. And it's just crazy to see what's going on out there. And I didn't want to come in here and talk about, you know, this many killed, this many dead, just basic facts that everyone already should know by turning on CNN. I mean, if you haven't watched the news and you've missed it, but if you have, there's no way you could have. Although I was thinking of a few questions, Zaina, and I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
You know, what do we want to happen out of these shootings? And by that I mean, I'm usually pretty good at taking the temperature of the nation when something's obvious, when something's bound to happen. I can't really get a temp of the nation right now. I feel like it's 50-50 on, do we do nothing about guns in America? Do we take away all guns in America? Do we make it harder to get? Do we not touch it? I feel like it's so decisive right now, and the people are divided as a nation. I kind of had a question for you. You know, what's the best and worst case scenario that, you know, this can come out of these situations?
I think what you said about people having split opinions on this is very true. I think it's very hard to find middle ground in this. There's really two ways. You either say you keep things as it is, which we've been doing, so obviously it's not an option. Either you do have a different way that you distribute guns. You know, people are coming on and saying, well, right now you can be someone who is on the no-fly list, but you can still get a gun. Like, just the people have such accessibility. So in my mind, I go, who allows this? Who pushes to have an easy access to guns? It's people who make guns, people who profit off of this type of thing. So I think that's says something, that these people that are benefiting off the sale of guns have such power over our legislation and over our government, because guess what? The laws haven't changed. This shooting and random acts of violence is not a new thing to America. It's not a new concept. This is domestic violence. I mean, earlier in the show, we were talking about worries about terrorism, worries about refugees and immigrants, but what about ourselves? What about the dangers that are happening here? So what's the opposite side, Nick? You said best and worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, we're very scared and we act upon those fears by saying, no, 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 no. take the guns. Take them. This is too crazy.
Right.
This
I agree
is too
with
scary.
That.
So, Nick, I want you to answer this question for me. Why do you agree with that? Why is it bad to say take away all the guns? Why is that bad? What has history shown us about taking away guns?
Well, real quick, I want to let everyone know we record these on Sundays, at least this episode, and Obama just gave his address to the nation at 5 p.m. Pacific time. A couple of points he made was, as Zana said, you can be on a no-fly zone and still be able to purchase a weapon. And by being on a no-fly zone, that means that something's wrong in your legal situation to where you're not allowed to leave the country, you're being on probation, something like that. Also, Obama said that he wants to make it harder for people to buy semi-automatic weapons, and that's his opinion that we should not arm our citizens with weapons that are used or made for war. And you asked me, Z, what is... how do I feel about the worst case scenario about them taking guns away from all law-abiding citizens? I don't really tend to agree with that. I'm not a part of the NRA. I'm not an advocate for any gun company. But in history, it's pretty prevalent that when a governing body or a dictator or some sort of authority over a mass amount of people wants to oppress a certain people, the first thing they do is try to de-arm them. And the reason for that is because if they want to do something to oppress the people, you want to limit their ability to fight you back. So taking away their weaponry would be step one in de-arming a people. So it's a slippery slope, Z. I mean, I'm all for regulation in that regard. But as far as complete take away everyone's guns because we're scared that we're going to be using them on each other. It's not guns that kill people, Z. It's people with guns that kill people. People that are responsible that know how to use guns don't go out and kill people. Take Switzerland, for example. When you turn 18, they give you a gun, every citizen, and they teach you and take a mandatory class on how to use and operate
really?
The weapon.
Wow.
Yes. And they have zero gun deaths in the last 20-something years. You can look that up. So it's not guns that... And the prevalence of guns that kill people, it's people that, one, don't know how to use them, and two, people that are maybe with a sketchy background, maybe a psych test would be in order, that just want to do harm, and they can use any weapon for that. But to use a gun as a scapegoat, I feel, would be the wrong reaction in the worst-case scenario.
Definitely. Well said, Nick. I agree with you.
But how would you feel about the best-case scenario, Z? Like, what... If we could look hindsight back in time and say, you guys should have done this. Like our kids, hey guys, when all these mass shootings are going down, you guys should have done this. It should have been obvious. You know, what's that? I don't even know the answer to the question. I don't even know the obvious answer to solve this problem right now.
I think that's why people are so split, Nick. I think the obvious answer is more complicated than I can just sit here and explain, especially someone that, you know, is not deeply knowledgeable about the ways of obtaining a gun now, right? But when you ask me, what do we want? You want guns in the hands of responsible people. You want guns in the hand of people that have some type of mental, moral character and would not even discharge a gun unless in self-defense.
Right.
And that's really what it is. How do we do that? I mean, your instinct, number one, is the process of obtaining a gun. You know, it needs to be to a point where we're checking this person out, that you would be comfortable with this person sitting with a loved one in a movie theater, walking into an elementary school. You know, that's really what it is. And it's so easy to submit to fear. I mean, the thought that someone can walk onto a college campus filled with thousands of hopeful minds and just decide to discharge their weapon, it's a scary thought. So it's very understandable to have that fear. It's a human emotion. But it's to act on that fear that is incorrect. And like you said,
Nick...
And
to let that fear control you, that
yeah,
would be wrong.
Like you said, it's something that's happened in history. When you take the defense of a nation, when you take away their weapons, you take away their ability to protect themselves. This whole point is weapons are here to protect us. Some people misuse them and...
Some people don't. And there's
the
a reason why our founding fathers put it in our Constitution, the right to bear arms.
One of the things they got right.
Because they were going through that themselves. The British Parliament wanted to stop the colonies from receiving any weapons. They realized that, hey, we might not be able to control revolution or revolt. And they were right. And imagine if they would have took the precaution to take those weapons away. Do you think there would have been a revolution? I mean, no one's going to fight with fists and pen and words. You could say that all you want, but it's actions that bring about change. So
yeah, it's the change. It's the monumental change that unfortunately sometimes violence is a part of. Actually, Malcolm X was someone that always voiced that. The whole point is, I'm so glad you said the word revolution, Nick. We are in such a revolutionary moment in U.S. history, I believe. You know, we're such a young nation. We're constantly
Say revolutionary moment. Really, I think, in an enlightened moment.
But
in
I
US
think
history.
In the social revolution we are having as a whole, talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, talking about the refocusing of, you know, how
I think
we
that's
marry
more of an enlightenment
this.
Movement. I think we're all not all. I think that people who had their heads in their sands about Black Lives Matter and how some citizens in this country get treated.
That's the whole definition of a revolution, is to completely change a system, to completely evolve it. And that's who we are. That's how why we say, you know, we're the revolvers. This is the Millennial Revolver Show.
Right, but what precedes the revolution is the Enlightenment. And the Enlightenment that there needs to be a revolution, because you're not going to just suddenly want to revolt.
I know, but people are already on the streets. People are already protesting. This is the revolution. And you know what? It will not be broadcasted. But it will today, because we have the Millennial Revolver Show.
Exactly.
But I definitely understand where you're going with that.
And I feel like the best case scenario in this situation would be stricter background checks, maybe a psych eval test. Obviously, if you have a dirty history or a bad background.
Yeah.
If you're on any type of FBI, CIA watch list. I mean, just I feel like these are very basic things that should already be implemented. And if they're not, you know, we should do that. I feel like at the very least, just getting it. A stricter background check in every sense of the way would be, you know, more of the immediate response.
Well, Nick, I hope that we're always a show that prides ourselves not just to talk about the issues, but to also talk about solutions to them. And while I'm so glad we're kind of trying to pinpoint what a good solution would be, how do we actually make this a real, live, actionable task? What do we do as citizens here to make that happen, to manifest that?
Well, you're going right up my alley. You know I love saying this. You know, if you want something done, it's a citizen's right to vote. And you have one voice, all you have to do is go out there and use it. You know, if you don't use it, you really have no reason to complain, because if you don't want to use your right to vote and enact change, then what do you have to complain about? You're just a lemming anyways.
And Nick, I'm so glad you bring up the power to vote, because I want to call out everyone in my life, in your lives, that have ever said, the right to vote? What's that? That doesn't matter. I'm simply one person, one vote. I want to call out those people who speak that way, because really the whole theme of this show is to remind people how powerful you are as one person. You have friends, you have families, you have coworkers, you have at least 20 people potentially that you could influence in your life. I mean, for you to say that my opinion and my vote doesn't matter is shameful, you know, to me. I think it's
funny because you read interviews and you ask, people ask, what are billionaires and the highest politicians really scared of? You know, they have all this money, you know, what could they be scared of? Debt, all this. No, they say they're. Biggest fear is the citizens' right to vote still, because they could change their lifestyle if they wanted to.
And that's why we say fear is so dangerous. It's the acting on the fear. This is where the danger kind of comes in.
Or like, maybe the inaction because of the fear.
I love that. I love that. Absolutely. It's misinformation that makes that fear so scary. And that's why we have the show, guys. That's why we always want your opinions and your insights. Thank you. Onto these topics, because misinformation is very dangerous. Misinformation skews your opinions on things. It skews how you vote. It divides people. And that's why, you know, we're living in, unfortunately, a time where, you know, we want to divide people. You're Muslim, you're Christian, you're Black, you're white.
We're so into labels. It's funny that we all forget we're human. And I feel like if an alien encounter were to happen today, we would all realize that real quick. This is alien with 8 eyes and 10 arms. You don't really look that much different than me. You're just a little bit lighter, a little bit darker. Maybe your eyes are green and mine are brown. But other than that, you know, we still got the same physiological features. So until people realize that, it's going to be another enlightenment moment, you know, as a culture and as a society.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, y'all. Well, that was a great show. I want to thank Zaina for doing an amazing show today. We're going to be back next week. Our new day is going to be Fridays. We're going to release the episode at 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Shout out to our partners, MSL Radio Miami. Still looking forward to working with you guys as always. And per usual, I'm going to leave you guys with one of my favorite new songs called Ocean Drive by Duke Dumont. Go ahead and check that out on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/suitmusic. Don't forget to check us out on all our social media, facebook.com/TheMRPage, Twitter @TheMRShow, also on Tumblr. All right, guys, see you next week.